If you want to get a sense of the current state of research into psychedelics, one of the big international conferences is a good place to begin.
Good morning. Let's start. We're a little over time, so...
It's 2022, and I'm in Harlem, just outside Amsterdam, at one of the major European conferences on psychedelics.
So this is the session on neuroscience and psychedelics.
1,100 people are packed in here, waiting to hear from some of the key players in the field.
The first speaker is Amanda Feeling, and she's going to talk about LSD and the importance of changes in the cerebral blood supply. We give her a big applause.
When histories of the modern psychedelic renaissance are written years from now, Amanda Feeling will be one of the more colorful characters.
Hello, everyone. Forgive me, I'm going to read my talk.
She's what you might call the godmother of the European psychedelic renaissance.
I've long been fascinated by the mechanisms underlying the profound shift in consciousness that can be achieved using psychedelics.
An eccentric British aristocrat with a rich history of self-experimentation, it was Amanda Feeling who helped keep psychedelic research alive during the long years when it was banned.
I've been into psychedelics for a very long time. I was introduced to them in 1965, and then in 1966, I met a Dutch scientist of exceptional insight, and we became close friends, lovers, and worked together for the next 30 or so years. And so, actually, what we did with LSD, there was whatever, the Stones or the Beatles playing in Hyde Park, which was half a mile away, and we were there doing our studies in psychedelics and different levels of consciousness, and that was just so exciting.
What was it that made you decide that this is what you wanted to do with your life, to study psychedelics?
Well, I suppose my background was very formative. I grew up on the edge of a moor in an old Tudor hunting lodge surrounded by three moats.
Three moats and three towers.
Ancient, beautiful, but totally isolated. So I mooched around as a child with no one to play with.
Except for her family's friends.
My father's family were close friends of William James, and Aldous Huxley used to visit my grandmother and stay talking all night when
he was
a young man.
Wow. Huh.
It was, she says, a perfect atmosphere for developing an interest in mysticism.
Because as a child, in a very beautiful setting, but nothing much to do but dream about a future, I had lots of mystical experiences, as most children do.
When you say, I'm just curious about what kind of mystical experiences did you have when you were a child?
Well, there was a part of the garden which was a mound with the moat surrounding it, very kind of secretive part. And there in my childhood fantasy, I think I was probably about five, six, seven at that point, this god figure lived. And I used to have kind of mystical experiences with him. I think a lot of children slip in and out of mystical-like experiences much more easily than we think, kind of thing. And so I was always fascinated by the mystical experience. It was always my passion.
At 16, that passion led her to set out on a journey to Ceylon, now Sri Lanka, where her godfather was a Buddhist monk. She hitchhiked as far as the Syrian border and spent time living with Bedouins. Then back in the UK, she studied classical Arabic, comparative religion, mysticism, and she discovered drugs.
Then at 16, I was introduced to cannabis and thought, this is amazing. And then at 22, I was introduced to LSD and thought, well, this is absolutely amazing because it kind of creates the ground from which you can more easily have a mystical experience, but it's not a way of life, I felt.
In the 1970s, Amanda Feeling became briefly famous, or infamous, for her interest in trepanation. That's the ancient practice of drilling a hole in the skull in the hope of inducing a higher state of consciousness, which she did on herself.
Now I just have to clean up and wait and see what happens.
With an electric dental drill, while filming the entire process.
Making the film was a sort of mantra to detach myself from the natural reluctance I felt
but her real lasting interest has always been the science of psychedelics.
I mean, I realized the benefits of psychedelics in 1966, and that's when I decided I'd devote my life to understanding their underlying mechanisms so that we can use them as useful tools.
Mm-hmm.
So prohibition, which one saw closing in on one, was obviously a disastrous mistake, which was doomed to complete failure and immense human suffering. So I saw at the end of the 60s that the only way really out of the taboo, to overcome the taboo, was undertaking the very best scientific research to demonstrate the advantages they had.
For those years during Prohibition, you must have felt like this lone voice in the wilderness. No one wanted to do these studies.
No one wanted to pay for the studies.
And the
danger is your children, because then I had two children. You know, parents wouldn't necessarily want their children to play with people, et cetera, et cetera. And bank managers wouldn't give you an overdraft. One was considered a weirdo, and maybe a dangerous weirdo, and the Daily Mail later called me Lady Mindbender, and you know, things like that, which I wasn't at all, you know.
When did that change for you?
Very slowly. I was compelled to follow this because I felt it was true. To begin with, I tried to do it through finding scientists and doctors to work with for 30 years, when it's a long time, from 66 to 96, I did it trying to influence or do research with scientists or do it through artworks because I was an artist. And then I thought, as a conceptual artwork, I need to become a foundation because this is a single female without letters after my name. How can I change global drug policy and open the doors to psychedelic research? But suddenly I got the idea, well, if I become a foundation, which in England is relatively easy, it costs £1,000, and I liked the word foundation. I didn't know you were meant to have money if you were a foundation, but so I became a foundation.
Which she named the Beckley Foundation, a charitable trust that has promoted scientific research on psychedelics for more than two decades.
As a child, my dream was to water the desert. Then I realized that the desert is the human brain. Thank you.